When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is almost as good as the prayers they used to say.
He can, DMX could do anything, man.
Yes.
R.I.P. DMX. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here.
Pay till I die.
Hour number two here on Christmas Eve. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Raheem. Listen to some of what happened, or one thing that happened in last night's Monday Night Football game, because really nothing happened in last night's football game. And then we'll start looking ahead to this week, because there's games like every day between now and Monday Night Football. College Football Corner in 20 minutes. Keep talking about the games, obviously. We know the games that are coming up on one on New Year's Eve, three on New Year's Day. But then also just some of this stuff that's going on. Like every single day you see different guys transferring here and there. You were just telling me about what all is going on at Duke and their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Kind of helped explain a little bit more why Malik Murphy maybe left there. But I get it now, I guess. Yeah. A little bit, so we'll get to that. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo at 12:40.
Do you have any sweaters like Jeff Saturday's Winter TV?
Not that loud.
Okay.
I've got like I got one Christmas sweater that's got like reindeer on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does.
Oh yeah, the blue one.
Yeah, I got a blue,
yeah,
one,
blue
with
one with the reindeers on it.
Yeah, it's it's a Christmas sweater, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's an ugly Christmas sweater.
Right.
When we were in New York over the weekend, I brought it, wanted to wear it.
Okay.
I texted my buddy because he had made dinner reservations for him and his girlfriend and us to meet him. And I was like, what's the vibe? Like, is it appropriate for me to wear a Christmas sweater?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, that's fine. It's that place, it'll be fine. And I wore it, and he was like, yeah, that's not even that. He said something about an ugly Christmas sweater. I said, I didn't say this was an ugly Christmas sweater. I just said it was a Christmas sweater. So
that hurt, dude.
What are you trying to say?
That hurt?
No, it didn't. But I had to make sure
you
it set
him
straight.
You got folks in New York City, Andy?
Yeah, man, I got people everywhere, Randy.
Damn.
We got people everywhere.
Yeah, so I need to check. I need to call you to see what I got to check in with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, otherwise, you never know.
Yeah, think about heading to Seattle. Who I need to talk to?
Yeah, Barb. Ballin' ass Barb.
How many gifts she sent down here?
So many gifts.
Yeah.
So many gifts.
And I was like, she told me, she was like, don't buy nothing else for them. Don't buy nothing, especially Bash. Bash, I was like, look, I get. And said, don't buy nothing. Between what we got him and then her mama, then all his aunties, and then my mama coming up with a whole bunch. Like, and then my, it's so funny because the kids there, like, everybody's home from school and everything. And so the funniest thing they know they're going to get from mama. Mama coming from, mama lived down in Griffin, she lives in Barnesville. She's going to Griffin, going to the sock shop. Now, they appreciate the socks now that they're older than when they were little. For some reason?
Well, yeah, when you're a little kid, socks are pretty
like they're like, grandma come with some socks. I was like, okay. And mama go get him a check. Mom, look, I still have the only mother that writes checks. Mama's coming with socks and checks for the kids tomorrow.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And that's perfect for you, too, because that's not more stuff that you have to deal with.
Yeah, man.
We got boxes, and I told them, and you can't tell grandparents anything.
Nope.
They're going to do what they want, and that's fine. But it's like, you guys have all been to our house. You know what it looks like. You know what the playroom looks like. It's becoming a difficult situation.
Yes, too much stuff already.
There's too much stuff. Mm-hmm. Every birthday, every Christmas, every whatever, anytime anybody goes anywhere, it's like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, we're either going to have to, like lie and slowly just start taking stuff out while they're not looking. Have a really hard conversation. Like, all right, you guys got to throw some, we got to get rid of some of this stuff.
Right.
You got a draft coming up. You got a toy draft. You got to pick the ones you like and save them. And the rest of them we're getting rid of.
Who the hell are you telling that to?
The children.
Your children?
Yeah. Or we're just going to have every room in the house as a playroom.
No.
Because
no.
We don't have room for this stuff.
My sweet girl, Lily, and my main man, Jack, you going to sit there and tell them you got to choose which toy to keep, which toy. That's what you trying to tell me.
That's one of the options.
That's what you trying to tell me. That's an option.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what else are we going to do?
Wait till they ain't there and throw away.
Yeah, I know.
Skillfully remove toys from the playroom.
That was option one.
Yeah.
That's
what you need to do.
And I've been trying to do. Here's the thing. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Except my wife is emotionally attached to everything. Every single thing that's ever been purchased for these children by any person is somehow the most sentimentally important thing that exists.
Yes.
It's like, well, you can't get rid of that. Uncle Billy got her that Valentine's Day 6 years ago.
Get rid of the toys.
Yeah, man. Look, you're not. You're yes. Okay. I've tried. We did this one day like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I was like, we got to have some tough conversations. We have to get rid of some of this stuff. We have to get rid of it. And she like was willing to part with three things.
But the thing with it is, and you talking about
I go in there by myself and I just throw stuff away, then
it's gonna be a problem.
Everyone I live with is mad at me.
It's going to be a problem.
Boone will even be mad at me.
They'll get over it. I've done it. I'm that guy. But the thing about it is the time you start doing that, you purge the toys or whatever. It's the one time they start looking for it.
Exactly.
The one time they start looking for it. Samson had 1,400 cars.
Mm-hmm.
All right? There's drawers up there. We got them plastic container full of cars. Now, Sebastian's in the car, so you wake up and you go get bashed out of the crib in the morning, and it's like 20 damn cars he's sleeping on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this one damn car. this one car.
That he hadn't played with in months.
Ever.
Maybe years.
Yeah. Yeah, looking for it.
You got rid of it, and no problem. Exactly.
Yeah. But of course how you saying it, like it's a negotiation or something. Okay, Lily, babe.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I would like it to be, actually, is because they are very, very lucky. They got a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to me that they know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is. So it would be good, and Jack can't understand this, and Lily's probably just only being able to kind of get there. But it's like, maybe it would be a good idea for us to give some of this stuff to people that need it.
Right.
That hadn't worked either. So... We're working on it. We're working on it. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. Did I already say this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate? Well, even if I did, it's important that you know that. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Week 16 is in the books. First shutout of the year. The Saints put up a donut last night. They're terrible. The Packers love giving the ball to Josh Jacobs early in games.
Yes.
They just give it to him. Like, I remember they played the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football a couple weeks ago. I think Josh Jacobs had 8 of the 9 touches on their first drive.
Dude, he's so good.
They just feed him early, and then they get a lead, and then they win.
That stiff arm he gave Honey Badger yesterday?
They said last night on the broadcast, he's so good at making defenders miss. I was like, what do you mean miss? He's running through these dudes' faces.
Yeah, man. He's
like
second behind Derrick Henry in like yards after contact.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing they wanted to do last night, because he's going to be such a big part of what they do going down the stretch. You get him out the game and rest him and things like that, because he's such a really good player. And this is right around the same time last year where Jordan Love started hitting that stride.
Mm-hmm.
Started now. What is it? Watson went down last night, and so hopefully nothing serious for that, because you know they obviously need him. Their defense is so good because their defense is so talented, but they got a coordinator now. Who knows how to coordinate it?
Well, and they were even without a couple guys last night. That's just how bad the Saints are.
But
though.
I'm saying they're third. I mean, you look at that damn NFC North. I mean, Minnesota, they take care of the biz last week because they got Green Bay and they got Detroit. They take it. They're gonna get no more seed, you know. And how long can Detroit? Obviously, they beat the hell out of the Bears. The Bears stink, but how long can they last with those defensive damn injuries? That's the biggest thing for the Bears. I mean, for the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna have to outscore people, which they can do. But you know how it is in the playoffs. Things get a little tighter. Points become a little bit harder to come by. And if their defense is playing the way that it has been, and even in the Bears game, they gave up a lot of yards late. Said we were going to do this today because we got a couple questions yesterday in the AMA about Falcons playoff scenarios. Obviously, the easiest playoff scenario
is just win both these games.
Just win both these games, and you're in the playoffs. Right. You win the division, and then you're in. As far as wild card stuff goes, it's complicated.
Yes.
Because, like, it's hard to imagine a team getting in as a wild card team without 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
If the Falcons have 10 wins, then they win the division.
Right.
You can't. They cannot have 10 wins and not win the division, because if they win the next two, they win it. They would have to then get in at 9 wins, which would mean they would need the Packers and the Commanders to lose all of their remaining games. Mm-hmm. But if they lose one of their final two games, it's probably going to be to the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very unlikely that the Falcons can get in as a wild card.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why when we talked earlier in the show, and I said they're right where they need to be, meaning you control your own destiny. And I've been on teams. I've controlled it, and we lost. You know, I always talk about the damn Cincinnati damn loss. But then I've been on situations, Andy, we were on an airplane. We took care of our business, and we needed another team to beat another team. And by the time we landed back at Fort Lauderdale, we knew we were out to play out. But, I mean, we were in the initial descent, and you find out that, damn it, the season's over with the game to go. And been in situations where, you know, like the funniest one was we needed the Broncos to lose to Peyton Manning and the Colts, right? Clayton Portis was out. And, you know, he was a bell cow for the Broncos. That was after the Champ Bailey trade and everything. All right. Clint Portis out. They go in there and beat the hell out of the damn Indianapolis Colts. The
Colts had already clinched, probably.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
The worst.
Went there and beat the hell out of them. We lose out that way. You're in a perfect position because you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah, you don't need help.
You don't need no help to get nowhere.
You got the help.
You got the help from that team in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You got the help from the team in Dallas to put you back in a position where right now you're the leader in the clubhouse in the South. But you got to go take care of your own business.
Yeah, because if you don't, like we said, the path to a wild card is, you know, because there's tiebreakers with teams that have beaten you. I guess they would have the tiebreaker over the Rams because of conference record. But yeah, I mean, you just win the two games you have left and then you go. I mean, like we just said, you had to get the help to even get back into this position in the first place because you gave it up. You had it. You had a big lead in the division, and then things spiraled for a month and righted the ship against two really bad teams. Last week was a lot more impressive than the week before that. You got a rookie quarterback in there now. It's a path of very, like, exciting potential. Does it make it different if they don't? Now it's like, well, we had a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Does it change anything?
Mm-mm.
Like, they kind of come close but don't beat Washington. It's like, oh, well, you know, you're starting a rookie.
I want to hear it.
I don't either.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
But that's what they'll say.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Damn sure that's what they'll say.
Damn sure don't.
All right. College Football Corner coming up next. Thanks for being with us here on a Christmas Eve. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shaky face. Who shook? Who had the more shakier face? Wanye or KC?
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh.
I think KC.
You think KC had a shakier face than Wanye?
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know, dog.
I don't know. I could see that. You know when you can hear, when you can see a sound?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, shake your face? Yeah, Wanya, Casey, man.
That's a good question.
Should we put a poll up?
Let me ask you this, though. Yeah. When you're driving around in the car singing along with them, how shaky is your face?
Oh, dude, all the way.
I got a shaky face.
I be shaking it too, dog.
Yeah. You see me at a stoplight, you might wonder if something's wrong with me. Is that man choking?
Yeah, dog.
No, I'm just listening to Boys to Men.
I mean, yeah, but no. I'm
just on bended knee. Leave me alone. Don't worry about it.
You know, obviously Christmas, so you want to do things. And you were talking about you and Ash and Baby Girl. Y'all sat and watched a Christmas movie last night. So we did. And obviously the first Christmas movie has to be This Christmas.
Okay. All right,
we got to watch that one. That's our first. Samson's like, Dad, can we watch Friday? I was like,
Friday After Next is a Christmas movie.
Yeah. So I'm like, hell yeah. I was like, you sure? And I looked at his mom, I said,
it's a Christmas movie.
I know his ass in the washing. Right? You know, like that's one of the things. Where,
he's seen it.
You know, one of the things where like you ain't slick, boy. Yeah. You ain't slick. I know you done sat there and watched this movie. That damn Damon between Damon and then Miss Pert, the landlord lady.
Uh-huh.
Man, I fell out my damn chair within the first 20 minutes. All right, I fell out my chair the first 20 minutes because Mike Epps is stupid as hell in that movie. But I think has Ice Cube ever smiled more in a movie than that? Because he didn't really smile a lot in Friday.
Well, no,
unless Debbie came over.
He's not like the most smiley guy.
Yeah,
like famously scowling.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. When Pinky came up in the party, he was smiling.
Yeah, I don't know. He was in some family comedies at one point.
Oh yeah, that's right. When he was like he was taking care of an old girl and her kids.
Yeah, what was that one called? Daddy Daycare or something like that?
No, that was Eddie.
That was Eddie Murphy? Eddie. I don't remember. But Ice Cube, there was a brief period of time where he had all that success with like Barbershop and all the Fridays and all that. And they were like, let's put him in some family comedies.
Yeah.
Let him be the feel good guy. And he was good at it. Yeah. I don't know. I like all those movies that he's in. Some are better than others.
Yes.
But I like it.
What's the worst Ice Cube movie? Trespass?
Oh, God, I don't know. That's a hard one to say. I never seen Trespass.
Oh, God.
Didn't he do the second Anaconda? The first one wasn't horrible.
The first Anaconda was okay.
The second Anaconda,
I never seen
them snakes started to get really cartoony. And he's running from cartoon snakes.
All right, the first Anaconda wasn't good, though.
Really?
Like, but it can't be the worst Ice Cube movie ever, though.
I
liked Anaconda.
I thought it was good. I liked Samuel.
Yeah, I liked it.
I didn't like it.
I like it.
I mean, it was okay. Yeah. But just like
really
I said,
gobble up prey that fast like that.
But. All of the Ice Cube movies are kind of okay, but I don't know if I'm putting that one at the top of the list. Now I'm trying to go. See, I never. Do you ever? Are you good at IMDb? I'm so bad at IMDb.
I don't even know what that stuff means.
That's the.
I know what it is, but I ain't got time. That's some age stuff.
No, it's how you look at what movies he's been in. And I'm trying to look at the list, and I'm so bad, I never know what to click on.
Yeah. Well, see, I just Google Ice Cube movies.
Yeah, that's
all probably
you
a better way to do it. Yeah, I didn't do that, though. So now here I am.
Oh, man, that's
trying to do it on the radio.
You see, we always talk about quarterbacks taking off, because this is when quarterbacks give gifts. Jeff Snyder said Peyton Manning took him to play Augusta National as a Christmas gift. Freaking awesome.
Was it just him or was it all the linemen?
He said,
took him.
Yeah, that's not fair then.
Wow.
Just him?
Yeah. I'd be mad if I was one of the other guys.
Yeah. But no, you know, off the line, like quarterback.
Fist fight? He was in the movie with Charlie Day.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, man.
I remember that.
Oh, he was in 22 Jump Street and 21 Jump Street,
He was the captain.
Ride Along.
And that's when they
Kevin
tried
Hart.
To make the 21 Jump Street a comedy. Yes.
Ride Along 2. They made a second one of that. Lottery Ticket. Are We Done Yet? That's the one.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that was that one. Are We There Yet? Are We There Yet? And then there was a sequel to it called Are We Done Yet? There's a lot in here. There's maybe I spoke out of turn. Some of these are really bad. Some of these are really bad movies. Anaconda's on there. Yeah. There it is. And those are the Ice Cube movies.
Pretty bad.
How'd that happen? Why'd we do that? Oh, yeah, because you said Friday After Next.
Yeah.
Friday After Next is an elite-level Christmas movie.
Yes.
It is rated R before you go showing it to young kids.
Yes.
But
yes,
mostly language in it and probably some cannabis usage.
Mm-hmm. When Peaky come up with that thing, man. Oh, that's the best. When Peaky come up with that thing, Merry Christmas, Peaky. Yeah, best part ever.
15 minutes away from the back page with Bo. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. So this is my last show of the year, so I'm not going to talk on the radio again until after all these playoff games happen.
We'll be back together. We'll be back together the day after the Georgia game.
Yeah, January 2nd. Yes. So we'll know who the final four is.
That game at 9 o'clock.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
8:45, so you're right. It won't kick off till 9 o'clock. It's the final one that night.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be the best one that day?
Yes.
Do you? I don't. I think Ohio State.
You think Ohio State Oregon?
Yeah, I think Ohio State Oregon will be a closer final score than Notre Dame.
I don't. You know, the thing with the whole Notre Dame Georgia is that Georgia, if we're whole, we'll beat Notre Dame.
But you're not.
But we're not.
Starting quarterback's not
exactly. And I'm talking about at the most important position. Mm-hmm. He's not there. And so I don't know.
And that became official yesterday.
Yeah, he had the UCLA. I mean, you were just talking like, does he come back now? I'd take Carson back.
Yeah.
I would take Carson back.
And why wouldn't you?
But the thing about it is, I don't know what Gunner is. So let me see what Gunner is.
That's a great question.
I think it's going to be a big thing.
If Gunner wins a national championship and Carson Beck wants to come back, what do you do?
You can come back, but Gunner's our starting quarterback.
Well, then he's not coming back. Yeah. Then he would probably transfer someplace else, right? Because he has an interesting decision to make. Like, obviously, Carson Beck, that is. His draft stock has fallen. It's probably a little higher now than it was a month ago because he played a little bit better at the end of the season. But then maybe it's not because he just had to have elbow surgery to fix what got hurt in the SEC championship game. So like, it's really hard to say what his projection would be into the next level. It feels easy to say that he could make a similar amount of money in college next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like these guys in like big quarterbacks right now in the NIL era are making more than
because he has
non-first-round draft pick.
Because he's like listed as a senior, but he technically has another year.
Yeah, because he was freshman during the COVID
year. Yes, he technically has another year. So, I mean, that'd be the interesting one. Now, if Ohio State plays how they played Saturday, they'll beat Oregon.
I think they will.
They'll beat Oregon.
I think they will too. But I also think Oregon is
very good.
They're ready for that. They can play. At that level,
I think.
I think so. I mean, because both teams kind of played like that when they played in Eugene. Ohio State just played really bad down the stretch.
The Rose Bowl. I mean, we all understand the pageantry and all that stuff that goes with that.
I don't think there's an advantage one way or the other for either one of those teams.
I
think both fan bases will travel. Both programs have played in that game a lot.
The biggest one's going to be here, you know, because obviously Texas is coming back. Mm-hmm. No Bevo. Yeah, you shouldn't do that to our damn dog. All right, they won't
banned from the state.
Yeah, banned from the damn state. Well, even though that happened down in New Orleans, they don't want you in domes.
Never. No. So what? You can't come.
Yeah, you can't come.
No, I know that one's going to be weird because I mean I think Texas fans will probably travel, although they've been traveling because they had to come here for the SEC championship game, and I also think Texas fans probably assume they're going to win that game, so you got to save money to go to the next.
But it's crazy because they could not have assumed that freaking Arizona State was going to win the freaking Big 12 because Boise gets to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be perfect for Arizona State to be in the Fiesta Bowl?
It would.
It'd be perfect.
It would. Although Boise kind of has like the most famous Fiesta Bowl moment of all time.
Yeah, they'd be Oklahoma.
They've played in the Fiesta Bowl, Boise, because during the Peterson era, they were so good. They played in the Fiesta Bowl three times. They're 3-0. Penn State, 7-0 in the Fiesta Bowl. Didn't realize that. I heard that this morning. So
really?
Both of those teams have played in the Fiesta Bowl a combined 10 times. And neither one of them has ever lost in the Fiesta Bowl. Penn State beat Washington in the Fiesta Bowl a few years ago. Texas, Arizona State in Atlanta is a weird deal.
It's very
weird. Like,
it's very weird.
It'll be full, I'm sure. I just don't know. I don't know anything about, like, Arizona State doesn't have, they have fans, but, like, they don't have that kind of fans.
They've
never been good at football before. Like, and they weren't even expecting to be good at football this year. So it's not like anybody was like, all right, let's put some money away so we could travel for the playoffs. Nobody thought that was going to happen. I don't ever remember seeing Arizona State fans at Husky Stadium when they were in the Pac-12 when you would play them. Like, we would go down there for games sometimes because it's fun as hell to go to Tempe and party after the game. But, like, even there, it's like.
How long would it take y'all to get there?
Oh, you would fly to
Phoenix. Oh, yeah, fly. Okay. Yeah. I know I drove.
Tempe is a list right there. I don't know, man. Like that's a really weird one. Texas, Arizona State in the Peach Bowl.
Yes.
This doesn't even feel
it don't match.
Doesn't feel right. so you got Penn State, Boise State on New Year's Eve in the Fiesta Bowl. I think Penn State's going to handle their business in that game. I just don't think Boise State's all that great. I think they're okay. And obviously Ashton Gentee's really good, but they've been skin of their teeth for like a month and a half now.
Right.
So I think Penn State. Now, I think it comes down to Aller because when he plays really well, like that offense can go. He didn't really do anything against SMU.
He didn't need to do anything. That defense carried him.
That's true, but he still didn't, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and their run game is really good. They don't – if they had, like – I mean, I know it's easy to say because there's, like, only one of these guys. But, like, if they had a Jeremiah Smith type or, like, an elite wide receiver, I think Penn State could be in that category of those other teams we talked about yesterday as national championship contenders.
Oh,
that's just what they lack.
That's
they
right.
just don't have an elite wide receiver.
Yeah, West Durham just texted it. That's Penn State beat Miami. That's when Vinny Testaverde threw all them damn interceptions.
Okay.
Yeah, they beat him for the national championship when
in the Fiesta Bowl.
When Jerome Brown and them had the camouflage on. I think I think that was that game. But yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing with these games right here is that. And I know we was a week ago when Carl was talking. Carl was absolutely correct. Like Gunnar Stockton is the worst quarterback in this field because we don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But because we don't know. We don't know. Now he has an opportunity.
I don't think that's a fair. No offense to Carl, but like worst is hard to say. Most unproven.
Most unproven. Yeah. We'll go there, and that's maybe what he said. Yeah. But I look at it like this: like everything around him is fine, but everything around him has to be more than fine. This game. The receivers, they got to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing we said about Michael Penix. You got to make plays for him run. They got to be able to run the football. They got to be able to run the football with Etienne. You got to be able to establish the run and everything and don't put it all on him. Now, he's going to be involved in the run game. Talk about Gunner. That's just something that he does. Because remember, we asked Roddy last week, and I was asking what game plan of Kirby's whole tenure, what game plan would resemble what Gunner would do. And he's like, more like Stetson. I don't know if he can run like Stetson. Because Stetson can pick him up and put him down with the best of him. Mm-hmm. And he would choose his moments when, you know, remember the Auburn game when it just opened up, he took off running?
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
No, there was multiple touchdowns he scored, especially his second year, the second national championship, where he just made plays.
Yes.
Like, sometimes it was designed, but sometimes he would just make guys miss and he would make plays. I think the most important thing for Georgia is this time off for ETN.
Yes. Rest. Because the ribs.
Him and Frazier are going to be so vital.
Yes.
If they can get it rolling, then Stockton's life is just so much easier.
Yes.
Hopefully,
we know Notre Dame's without their best defensive lineman.
Yeah.
We found about that yesterday. He's going to be out for this game. Notre Dame, they're a defensive-minded team that wants to run the football. I don't want to say they're built like Georgia. You know, play great defense, mm-hmm. run the football, all those different things. Now, the biggest thing with Georgia, and I know this is whatever, All-American punter's gone. I mean, he was one of the best. His best thing was flipping the field.
In a game like this, that's a really big deal.
He was one of the
position.
He was one of the best ones that flipped the field the way he would kick the – I mean, he went a whole season down there without a return.
Yeah.
You know, because he would boot it so high, and their coverage teams would be
there.
And
he could tackle, too, if he needed to.
Yeah, I got hurt doing that, Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, they should have covered better.
Got hurt doing it because it was a bad coverage, and he had to save us.
When we reconvene, when you and I talk again on January 2nd, 2025, who will be the four teams left in college football?
Georgia.
Agree.
Penn State.
Agree.
Oregon.
Come on.
I knew you were going to do that. In Texas.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
I think the Oregon-Ohio State game's a coin flip. I mean, I hope it's Ohio State. Not that I really like Ohio State, but
you care.
Hell of a lot better than the other guys. It'd be so great after they went undefeated and then all this excitement. Oh, Dan Lanning's the next. And
why,
they lose their first playoff
game.
Why
are you like
this? Why am I like this?
Why are you like this?
How
you
else
like
would
Dan
I be?
Lanning.
Excuse me?
I thought you liked Dan Lanning.
Who did you hear say that?
You liked him when he was here?
When he was, when he coached for Georgia?
Yeah.
That was great. Then
why
he went.
Why are you like this?
Then he went and coached for Oregon. And now, I don't like him anymore. I don't know what happened. It's weird. What happened between those two things?
Like, is it? I've never looked in a man's eyes more in my life than I looked in your eyes. Because I've never been with a man.
Fair enough. Yeah,
yes,
we got it.
Never ever.
We got it.
Looking at a man's face as many times as I've looked at your face in a row.
Yeah, got it.
The when you say that word, and I be thinking you'd be joking, but you'd be serious as hell.
Yeah, man. I don't want anything good to happen for them ever. A lot of good things have happened for them.
Unbelievable.
But now it would be sweeter because they're so close to it. They can taste it. And hopefully it gets ripped from them.
Unbelievable.
Like the last couple times. Because they've never won one. You know what? That's what the O stands for. That's what that O is they got.
Oh, it stands for Oregon.
Zero national championships. Yeah. That's what it stands for. God, I'm going to be so mad if they win it. I'm not coming to work the next day. I'll be more mad if they win it than I was sad last year.
We may
year
have
when
the smallest Oregon. We got one Oregon listener, loyal listener.
There's
we might
two.
Have the smallest Oregon base ever. You think they're all going to come out?
I think all Oregon fans have a small base.
Oh, my damn.
in my opinion, from what I've heard. All right, we'll get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Or 99. Mr. Grinch, you're really a heel. Can I ask you something? And Bo, I want you to come. I'm a John Freaky right now.
Yeah.
Me and my wife were talking about this last night. When did the Grinch become such a mainstream dude?
Interesting question. I think it's happened gradually.
Yeah, because we didn't blank with the Grinch.
No, there wasn't a ton of Grinch.
We didn't blank with the Grinch.
Now, I think the Jim Carrey movie, probably, because that was a pretty big movie, right? And then they just did another one a couple years ago. It was like a cartoon, but it had a lot of famous actors as voices. Right. So there's been more Grinch movies and stuff over the last 20 years.
Yeah, like it's cooler. I mean, whatever. But it's like, it's like the Grinch is cooler than Santa Claus.
We got we don't have a Santa Claus blow up in front of our house, but we got the Grinch.
I got a Grinch blow up outside y'all house?
And Cindy Lou Who. We got both of them. Now, we got the Grinch because my wife was worried people wouldn't know who Cindy Lou was.
Oh,
so for context.
Okay. Right.
And I was like, $50 worth of context. Yeah. That's perfect. Right. I think people might know. Also, who cares if they don't? But that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
So now we have both of those in front of our house.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we got Bambi. We got Bambi standing up in our yard. Remember how Bambi was leaning over?
You get him up yet?
Yeah, we got him up. Daddy went and got some new steaks.
Good.
So Daddy, so it don't look like it's someone. They don't look like we got a family of deers and somebody shot one of them that's been laying there for 2 weeks.
Somebody went hunting in the McMichael's front yard.
Yeah,
that's a good point, though. Like, I feel like the Grinch has become a much more prominent part of Christmas over the last 20 years or so. I also think, I don't know, maybe more people identify with the Grinch, you know? I'm kind of grumpy. I don't like Christmas. All you guys are having fun. I'm not. Leave me alone.
But I'm not. I'm not a grumpy person.
Oh, dude, I'm not like that. I love Christmas.
I love Christmas.
The whole season is my favorite.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a Christmassy guy. Love me some Christmas. Oh,
you got your red sweater on there.
Yeah,
and
I wore
everything.
This for you.
I love it.
Yes, I wore this. I said, like, you know what? I'm gonna impress Andy today. I'm gonna wear a red sweater that had the tag on it.
I should have wore mine. I was gonna wear mine, but I get so hot in here. I just wore this.
I bought this thing like 4 years ago for my wife's Christmas party.
That's nice.
She wouldn't let me wear it. She said, "You're not wearing that."
How come?
I don't know.
That's like a Manning Brothers half zip.
Exactly what it is.
She was
like, "You're not wearing that with me." I don't know. I don't know what it was. And I think, she didn't like the look I had.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I had I did look like a Manning because I had the
Randy McManning.
The white button up underneath it. Well, you know that look with the white button up with the quarter zip. You can see it like that.
Yeah, that's a nice.
I was going to wear it to the Christmas party
look.
Not according to Donna McMichael.
Now, that's a nice. That's not a look I would expect to see you wear.
And that's what she said.
Yeah,
she said you don't wear the stuff like that. I'm saying I'm trying to be not. You know, I'm trying to blend in a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
It's a nice sweater.
Yeah,
Bo's got his have a holly jolly.
Sithmas.
Excuse me.
Sithmas.
Syphilis.
Sithmas. It's a Star Wars reference, you know, Sith, Jedi.
Oh,
Darth Vader's on the shirt.
Like. Oh, I can't see it because the thing's. Oh, I see it. I got it.
Yeah, my wife's like, "You can't wear it." So I was like, "I'm going to the other closet. Pull out my sweater for Andy today."
There you go.
Yeah.
Well done. I was gonna wear mine too, but then again, I get
I gotta make sure I got sweatpants.
I wear a T-shirt in here and get sweaty, so I had to wear like the light. But I got the red
that
and blue flannel.
Flannel can't be much cooler.
Well, it's not
than
flannel.
Oh, is it not?
It's light. Okay. It's a light cotton.
Right.
But it's Christmassy, and I'll throw my Christmas sweater on it over it later when we go to church, just to make sure.
Did I go to church today?
Yeah, I got to go to church on Christmas Eve.
Midnight Mass?
No.
Okay.
We'll go early. But we go every year on Christmas.
If you can
Eve.
Get the kids up for Midnight Mass, it's only like 45 minutes left. To my knowledge, through my experience.
Okay.
The quickest Mass of the entire year, Midnight Mass.
All right.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. We're going to do 3:00 this afternoon. But
okay, cool. Yeah. That's all right. That's good, man.
Yeah.
That's good. Go to church. So I guess you don't want to hit this Yellowstone whiskey that Bob Bobby.
Why not?
You can't go to church lick. Well, hell no. Never mind. No, people go to church plenty of times drunk.
That's just communion, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all that is.
He did turn that water into whiskey.
Yeah, man, he did.
Something like that.
Hey, it sounded about right.
Let's get to the back page with Bob.
Sound about right.
Brought to you by, if you're still looking for the perfect gift this holiday season, God bless
you. They still open.
Solomon Brothers has 1-carat diamond stud earrings, tennis bracelets, necklaces, and rings for under $999. Shop Solomon Brothers or solomonbrothers.com. Hello, Bo.
A super special birthday shout out, not to get too too depressy, but it deserves to be spoken about. So not only are we celebrating the birthday of Jesus tomorrow, but we are celebrating the birthday of the recently passed Ricky Henderson.
I knew you were going to say
that. Oh, he was born on Christmas?
Ricky would have turned 66 tomorrow.
I knew
he lost Ricky over the weekend.
And I knew you were going to say that. Because yesterday I was like, because I know you are a big fan of Ricky. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Ricky. We all are, man. Yeah. And he passed away, and we didn't mention it yesterday. And so when you said that, I was like, I think Ricky Henderson's birthday was and everything like that. But, just just my favorite. Because he talked the talk. He talked the talk. Ricky would
and
have
backed it up, too.
He backed it up. There was nothing better than a Ricky Henderson home run trot.
Oh, great.
Nothing at all.
Popping his jersey.
I know everybody talks about Juan Soto and all that stuff. No, Ricky was the original slow trot.
Oh, yeah.
And then my favorite Ricky was always the pop-up when he would tap his glove and just play around and then snatch it out of the air. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The cool thing, too, is like, because everybody loved Oakland Athletics Ricky, right? Like, that's what you most associate Ricky with.
Yes.
But then he played so damn long, like, you probably got a chance to see him play for your team. He came and played for the Mariners for 1 year in 2000.
Right.
They made the playoffs. He actually scored the winning run that sent him to the ALCS in the year 2000, and he was awesome. He was just hilarious quotes. Like, it was so cool to have. He was, like, 44, still stealing bases. This guy played till he was damn near 50. It was
25 years, nine teams. If you're ever looking for something to watch that's funny on like YouTube, go Google just Ricky Henderson stories. Harold Reynolds tells a great one.
Dude, he's awesome.
Of how Ricky got hurt 1 year, and Harold Reynolds finishes the season with 61 stolen bases. Ricky calls him up the day after the season ends. Ricky would have had 60 by the All-Star break.
I love the my favorite Ricky Henderson story is the check story. With his first $1 million, he framed it.
And then they called him and like, can you please cash it?
Yeah, did cash it, framed it.
I never got the answer to why they did it, but there was a throwback game where the Mariners dressed as the Rainiers from back in the day, and they were playing against whoever Ricky played for at the time, and it was throwback. And him and Ken Griffey Jr. shared a mitt the game. They were on opposite teams.
Right.
And at the end of every inning, the guy would drop it at second base. Griffey would drop it at second. Ricky would pick it up and go use it. Ricky would drop it at second. Griffey would pick it up and go use it. They shared the mitt for a nine-inning game.
Because Ricky did throw left-handed.
Yeah, he threw left-handed. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Maybe, I've never heard that story, but I'm going to find out.
I don't know why they did it.
Yeah.
But the Mariners posted a video of them swapping mitts back and forth in the same game all those years
It has
ago.
To have something to do with a outfielder gloves are bigger than most, so you can't just use anybody's left-handed glove. Maybe they were the only two left-handed players on their own team.
Yeah, Ricky forgot his
or left-handed throwing players.
Griffey forgot his, or maybe it was a throwback mitt they wanted to share. I don't know what it was, but kind of funny that happened in a game.
So, Randy, do you have any extravagant Christmas gift stories from the NFL? Like, so quarterback buys offensive lineman gifts. Yes. Who do the receivers buy? Each other?
Yeah. A lot of times it's in, like, outside the quarterback buying, usually for the offensive line. The running back, if he gets a certain amount of yards, he gets your stuff. Like, I remember Ricky got us these nice watches that, like, nobody knew what kind of watch they were.
Ricky Williams bought the receivers watches.
No, Ricky bought all the offensive linemen, tight ends, and Rob Conrad, who was the fullback. He bought us all watches. Steven Jackson bought us really nice watches 1 year. Ronnie Brown got us like $1,000 Best Buy gift cards one year to the line and everything. Quarterbacks usually just take care of the offensive line. They don't never buy the receivers. If we get something, it's usually from the running backs.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
Oh, wow. See, I never knew that.
Yeah.
So you always do hear of stories of quarterbacks buying their offensive lineman gifts. Well, one floating around this season is what Joe Burrow gifted his offensive lineman. And he gifted them all customized samurai swords. All right? Now, hold on. Follow
That's
me
so
here.
Joe Burrow.
It is. So these are all – he gave each individual lineman a set of swords. It was both a samurai sword and a katana.
What's a katana?
A katana is just a smaller one. Okay. Samurais had a pair of swords generally.
All right.
Every pair of swords that he got was actually an authentic sword that was used in a battle, and it came with a story behind it, and then he had their names engraved on it like that. So Joey B was asked about this after Sunday's game as to why he picked samurai swords, and here's his answer.
Well, they wanted guns. And I was like, I don't know about guns, guys. And so I was in the weapon mindset.
Guns.
I'm like, what's a cool weapon? Samurai swords, I think, are pretty dang cool.
I do too. That, and that's a very honorable weapon to give somebody. When you give somebody a sword, that's one of the most honorable things you can do.
That's hilarious. So, yeah. Oh, no. Great guns, stuff. Though.
Giving somebody a sword is honorable. I know it was. I'm talking about now. It's honorable?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Do you think Joe knighted him?
I don't know that he has the power to knight folks. Oh, okay. And you're not going to knight anybody with a samurai sword.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's the one in the samurai when they do that? Never mind.
Well, the knights get knighted by
by the king. Like king and yeah, I understand that.
But samurais are like Japanese.
I understand that, Andy.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they ain't got no ritual before they get that knight?
Oh, I'm sure they do have some sort of ritual. I'm sure there's a samurai ritual. Okay. I don't know what it is.
I was wondering.
You ever know anybody that had a samurai sword?
Yeah. And
because they're all specific types.
Yes, they are. Thinking they're a damn samurai. Oh, and I love this guy. And I'm talking about, dude, I love this dude. But yeah, dude, he would. And the crazy thing about it was how he would pull it out like he was a damn ninja, right? And like, there's certain moves that you could do. You're not Leonardo, okay? All right, but he would have it in front of him, and we'd be doing in the, like he would never be doing no trick because he cut his hand off,
right?
But yeah, you can tell him that he wasn't a bad man when you hear that.
So like, where did he keep it?
Huh?
Where did he keep it?
Oh, you got to hang him up.
Because a lot of times people will display him, right?
Nope.
What, he just kept it in the closet?
Nope. By his bed.
Oh, okay. Just in case
just standing there sheathed right by the bed?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I'm gonna own samurai swords one day, and they will be up on the wall.
You don't have samurai swords, boy?
I don't. Only have one sword.
That's a surprise.
That is a very surprise.
That's the one you got.
Cool sword, though.
That's the one you got from the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a roommate in college that had a samurai sword.
I would have thought Bo had plenty of samurai
swords. Kept it on the
only one sword.
Dude, we thought we were ninjas back in the day.
We all did. Yeah.
We did.
Everybody thought they were ninjas.
You ain't never made no homemade nunchucks.
If you were a kid in the 80s, you thought you were a ninja.
Yes.
Like, whether it was Karate Kid or Ninja Turtles or whatever, everybody thought they were
white
a ninja.
White ninja, black ninja. You know what I was? I was the green ninja because all my mama had was green military tape.
Great. It's a good way to go.
Turns out it was samurai that we really should have been wishing that we were. Because the ninjas were mostly thieves.
Oh, yeah.
And the samurai protected the elite.
God, doggone, Bo.
And that is just one of the many types of things.
And they wore really cool armor, too.
The midday show. Andy and Randy. We'll come back. We're going to do another hour of this. More stuff like that. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.